Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Just before I begin, I wanted to tell you about an elderly single man who moved into a retirement village. And after being there a few months, he met a very attractive elderly single woman. And they began to spend a lot of time together. And finally, one evening, the elderly man proposed and he asked this lady to marry him. Well, the next morning when he woke up, he remembered his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. And so at breakfast, he managed to track her down and he said, "Look, I'm really embarrassed. I know I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." To which she replied, she said, "Oh, thank goodness. I remembered saying yes, but I just couldn't remember who asked me." Anyway, we're going to continue our series on wisdom that we've titled Accessing and Applying God's Wisdom to Life. It's the second part in our series, Accessing and Applying God's Wisdom to Life. Wisdom is also our theme for 2020 across our Rivers Church campuses, all five campuses, all ministries, all teams. We're going to be speaking wisdom into the lives of people this year. And the goal is very simple, to help us all grow in the area of wisdom. Because I think if we have to be honest, we could probably all say, I need a little bit more wisdom in my life on a daily basis. I read quite an interesting article this week that there were a group of con men in Italy. Through a particular scam that they had run, they managed to make off with more than $6 million. And what they did was they advertised that they would offer the first tourist flight to Mars in a spaceship. And they advertised as follows. They said, "Spend your next vacation on Mars amid the splendors of ruined temples and painted deserts. Ride a Martian camel from oasis to oasis, and enjoy the incredible Martian sunsets. Explore mysterious canals and marvel at the views. Trips to the moon are also available." Well, the amazing thing about that scam, that 600 people each paid $10,000 to be on that supposedly first spaceship to Mars. The guys made a break, $6 million they got away with, all because people displayed a lack of wisdom. And if you know, when we lack wisdom, when we lack common sense, we will always lose something. It will always cost us something. It might be money that it costs you. It might be your family. It might be your reputation. It might be your marriage. It might be your business. It may even be your life. But whenever we display a lack of wisdom, we will always end up losing something in the process. There's a truth that you can write down. The more we grow in godly wisdom, the better our lives become. Never forget that if you want your life to get better than what it is today, you need to make better choices than you've made previously. The way you and I make better choices is by accessing and applying the wisdom that God has available for us. We make better decisions and our lives become better. And throughout the Bible, we see the wisdom of God that is available for us. Particularly the book of Proverbs, which is known as the wisdom book of the Bible. And God's desire for your life and for my life is that we would grow in the area of wisdom. You know, it's interesting to note that success and wisdom always go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. Wherever you display wisdom or you apply wisdom, you will always see a measure of success. If you are not seeing any success in your life, then perhaps it's a lack of wisdom that you are displaying. And success never happens by chance. So many people are waiting for that lucky break or to win that lottery or for that person to die and leave me an inheritance of sorts. But success doesn't come by luck or by chance. It always comes by wisdom. Because when you get godly wisdom, you make different decisions and the outcome of your future is different to what it has previously been. In Proverbs 24 verse 3, the Bible says that a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Now, the Bible not necessarily literally speaking about a physical house, but really speaking about anything that you build in life, Anything that you are trying to grow will become better when you do it with wisdom. For those of you in business, your business doesn't just become successful by chance. You have to apply wisdom. You have to know when to invest, when to buy, when to sell, which contractors and suppliers to use. Those are all matters of wisdom. If you make wise decisions, you will build a strong, healthy business. You know, the same is true in church life. Church doesn't just grow by chance. We don't just pitch up on a Sunday and we hope that the Lord does something. No, no, every week we plan, we think, we strategize, we put our heads together. We do all that we can with the wisdom God gives us. And then God supernaturally does on the weekend what only He is capable of doing. Your life will not just turn out awesome by chance. It requires wisdom every day, making wise decisions, every day accessing God's wisdom, applying it to your life so that you can look back over time and say, look what the Lord has done because I've used the wisdom that He has made available for my life. In Proverbs 3 verse 13, the Bible says, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. You know, I think if you had to ask the average person, would you like a bag full of wisdom or a bag full of gold? I'm pretty sure I know what most people would respond by. In fact, even maybe not in this service, maybe the other services, you'd choose the bag of wisdom, I know that. But that's how most people think. We don't think about getting wisdom as much as we think about getting wealth and money and all sorts of other things into our hands. But the Bible very clearly says that when you get wisdom, the quality of your life is better, the length of your life is prolonged, and you also experience more joy in your life. Joy comes as a byproduct of wisdom, because when you have wisdom, you make better decisions. There is always joy on the other side, but there is always a lack of joy or a removal of joy when we make poor decisions through a lack of wisdom. And so everything gets better when we access and apply God's wisdom to our life. Here's another truth you can write down. There's a difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom. There's a difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom. And the wisdom that we are trusting to receive is not human wisdom. It is the wisdom of God available for us. You know, many of you would have heard of a guy called Stephen Hawking. And he died a couple of years ago, but he was a British physicist. And he spent most of his life trying to figure out the mysteries of the universe. And he also authored the book, A Brief History of Time, which has become one of the more popular modern science books. He had an IQ of 160. That's just less than my IQ. No, 160 IQ. What they did is it put him in the top 0.003% of people in the world. And so he was labeled as a genius. He had a brilliant mind. But unfortunately, even Stephen Hawking, you know, many times throughout his life and even towards the end before he died, he still held by his statement. He said, there is no heaven or afterlife that is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. He reported on CNN that there is no God and no one directs the universe. You know, I think that story and claims like that really represent the wisdom of humanity, the cleverness of man. And the truth is, the world is full of clever people. But it seems like as human wisdom increases, our need for God begins to decrease. People become so clever in their own right, they become so clever in their own eyes, that they figure, well, why do we even need God anymore? And so even someone as brilliant as Stephen Hawking can then make statements that God doesn't exist. I don't need God because I'm so awesome. But the moment you take God out of the equation, how many of you know everything begins to go wrong for you? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, 21, and he says that God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom. The Bible very clearly makes the distinction between human wisdom and the wisdom of God. Human wisdom will always find its roots in philosophy or perhaps even religion or experience, the way we feel, the emotions that we emit when something happens, people's opinions, people's achievements, but none of those things will ever bring you into a place where you can call on God. Those things, the more you rely on them, the further they will push you away from God. But godly wisdom is different. Godly wisdom is rooted in God Himself. It is rooted in the divine nature of God. It is rooted in the perfection of God. It is found in the Bible, the Word of God. It was made known to us through Jesus, the Son of God, and then through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians 1:12, and he says, we have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. Can I encourage you not to depend on your own human wisdom? You might be very clever, you might be intelligent, you might have a whole lot of degrees. Nothing wrong with that, go for it, but make sure you don't build your life on that. And as a result, you exclude the wisdom of God from your life because you will eventually end up making a whole lot of poor decisions along the way. You know, human wisdom will say things like, well, there are many ways to God. Because that's what all the bright sparks in our world are saying now. As long as you believe something, there's many ways to God. But godly wisdom says, no, there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Human wisdom will say to us, oh, God just wants you to be happy. But godly wisdom says, no, God wants you to be holy. God wants you to obey Him so that you can live in relationship with Him. Human wisdom will say, you know, we're free to choose whatever we want in life. Godly wisdom will say, yes, God has given you freedom of choice, but don't forget that there are consequences that come with your choices. Human wisdom will almost make it look like there's no consequences. Choose whatever lifestyle you want to choose. Choose whatever belief system, as long as it makes you happy. God says, no, there's only one right way to live, and you figure out that way when you have access to the wisdom of God and you begin to apply that on a daily basis. Can you say amen to that? So how to gain godly wisdom? Just very quickly, I gave you two last week. I just want to quickly touch on them. The first way to gain godly wisdom is through the reverent fear of God. The reverent fear of God. Psalm 111 verse 10 echoes what the book of Proverbs says. The Bible says that fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. So in other words, if you don't have a reverence for God, if you don't put Him on the highest place of your life, you will then, as a result of that, not obey the commands of God. And so one of the reasons why so many people lack wisdom is because they refuse to obey God's commands. They will rather follow their own desires and make their own decisions. The Amplified version of that verse says that the reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. The moment you put God in the rightful place of your life, the moment you acknowledge who you are and who He is and what He's done for us, that is the moment we begin to draw close to God and we begin to receive the wisdom that God has made available for us. It is the foundation or the starting point to receiving the wisdom that God has available for us. And then the second thing we looked at in gaining godly wisdom is simply by asking God for it. Never forget that God has the wisdom that you need for your life today. Whatever situation you are in, whatever decisions you have to make in the next day, the next week, the next month, God has the answer for it. He has wisdom available. But again, if you don't have a holy reverence and fear for God, the likelihood is that you're not even going to ask Him in the first place, because you will automatically believe that you actually know better anyway. You will be relying on your own wisdom. But when you have a holy reverence for God, you can come before God. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know the way out yet. I don't know what's the right decision. Believe for God to give you the wisdom. He says in James 1 verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He's a generous God and He will give it to you. So let's have a look at a few more this morning on how to gain godly wisdom. You all okay? Here's another way. Keep wise company. Keep wise company. You know, I think all of us have to ask ourselves a few serious questions around this. You got to say, who am I associating with? Who are the people that I'm hanging around with? Who are the people that I'm spending most of my time with? Who am I following on social media? Young people, be careful who you follow, because those people will speak into your life. Who are you allowing or giving permission to speak into your life? The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. It's interesting, the Bible only has two categories, wise people and fools. It doesn't make allowance for nice people. Isn't that true? Because often we have a separate category. Well, they're not wise, but they're just nice people. No, they are either wise or they are fools. The Bible's very clear on that. And who you walk with, who you associate with, who you spend most of your time with will eventually determine the type of person that you become. You know, Jim Rohn once said this. He said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Again, we have to ask ourselves, who are we spending the most time with? I want to suggest and encourage you maybe this afternoon when you get home, make a list from 1 to 5 of the people that you are spending the most time with. Now, I know being the very spiritual service, you're going to put Jesus number 1, the Holy Spirit number 2, the angel of the Lord number 3. Okay, but in real life now, in real life, make a list. Who are you spending the most time with? And then you have to ask yourself and answer honestly. Person number 1, are they helping me gain wisdom or are they decreasing my average? Number 2, are they increasing my wisdom or are they decreasing my wisdom? And if you say, well, person number 1 is increasing my wisdom, well, then you need to find a way to see, how can I spend more time with that person? How can I lean in a bit more? How can I get more of what they've got so that I can become wise? But then you have to be prepared to do the opposite. If you have someone on your list and you have to say, yo, they're a good person, I've been hanging out with them for years, but if I have to be honest, they are decreasing my average. They are not speaking life and wisdom into me. You need to find a way to begin to spend less and less time with them. Those are difficult things to do. But unless you do that, nothing's going to change. You have to walk with the wise to become wise. You know, when I was in high school many, many years and years ago, I was, I think, maybe grade 9 or 10, and it was after one break time that a guy, and I can't even remember who the guy was, but he said to me, hey, you know what, let's skip class for the rest of the day, and let's go for a walk. Let's just walk out the school ground, and we'll go to the shop, we'll go somewhere. And I was like, sure, let's go. Anyway, so we walked across the school ground while everyone was walking back to class. We got out the gates. We just got around the first corner. And there, one of the prefects found us there. And he said, what are you doing? And we said, well, we're going for a walk. He said, well, you can't go for a walk in school time. He marched us to the principal's office. And that day, we suffered the wrath of the headmaster back in those days. The point is this. I didn't walk with the wise, and I walked with a fool instead. And because I walked with a fool, I suffered the consequences and got into trouble as a result. You've got to ask yourself, who are you walking with? You know, sometimes you don't even have to know someone nowadays to learn from them. If there's someone you admire, someone you think, that's a wise person, that's a godly person, read books that they've written. Listen to podcasts. Listen, there's ways of doing it without them being your personal private mentor and tutor. But whoever you walk with, whoever you associate with, will determine who you become in life. So we need to be very careful who we walk with. If we keep wise company, we will keep growing in the area of wisdom. You know, the same is true when it comes to our relationship with God. God, the Bible speaks of, is all-knowing. He's all-wise. And James 4:8 reminds us to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The same as would apply with people. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you walk with God, who has all wisdom, you will become more Christ-like. The more closer we walk with God, the more we draw near to Him, the more we lean into Him, the more God deposits wisdom in our life, the more of His nature begins to rub off on ourselves. Can you say amen to that? Another way to grow in godly wisdom is to earnestly search for it. To earnestly search for it. Proverbs 1 verse 20 says that wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. But I called you so often and you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. Isn't that how so many people live? Wisdom shouts. Wisdom desires to be heard. But so many people already rely on their own wisdom, and they've already decided, I know better. I don't need to hear what God is speaking to me about. But clearly we see that wisdom desires to be found. But even though it desires to be found, we still have to intentionally look for it. You know, wisdom doesn't just fall upon your life. There I was standing out in the rain and there was a shower of wisdom that just fell upon me. And all of a sudden, as I opened my eyes, I was like the oracle of wisdom itself. It doesn't work like that. You're also not going to be walking along and trip over a bucket and, oh, there was wisdom in the bucket. Let me gather the wisdom. I'm so clever now. No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to know where to look for wisdom. You can't download wisdom on Amazon. You know, you can buy a book on Amazon with one click and it's in your Kindle there. You can't do that with wisdom. No one's going to give you a gift voucher for your birthday for wisdom. There's 750 rands worth of wisdom for you, my friend. Be blessed. There's no shop at Gateway that's called the Wisdom Shop. Maybe with all the gullible people around, we should open a wisdom shop and who knows, huh? Trips to Mars and the moon and all sorts of things. You also can't exchange wisdom from someone. Say, oh, brother, I've got faith. You've got wisdom. I'll give you some of my faith. You give me some of your wisdom. Then it doesn't work like that. If you want wisdom, you have to go to the source of wisdom. You have to go to the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is God Himself. He is the source of wisdom. If you go to Him, you have the wisdom that He has for you. You know, for those of you who drink bottled water, you see many of the mineral water companies put a phrase on the bottom there, bottled at the source. Have you ever seen that on a bottle of water? Bottled at the source. Now, why do they put that on the bottle? Well, they want to let you know that the water is bottled at the source, thereby implying that it is pure water. It is clean water. They didn't get a whole lot of bottles, fill them with their taps at home, put the lids on and sell it to you as mineral water. They want you to know that that water is untainted water. It is the best water for your body that you can find. You know, when it comes to wisdom, if you want the best wisdom that you can find, go to the source of wisdom. Go to God Himself where He bottles that wisdom for you. Pure wisdom. Wisdom that is not tainted by the opinions of man or the experiences of people or our shortcomings, but wisdom that comes from God Himself, the author of wisdom. Don't go looking elsewhere for wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 2 verse 2, it says, tune your ears to wisdom. Tell the person next to you, tune your ears to wisdom. You know, when I was a kid, I can clearly remember every Saturday afternoon at about 2 o'clock, my dad used to go into his bedroom and he would pull out his old shortwave radio. You know, a lot of the young people don't even know what a radio is anymore. What do you mean? I've got a phone. Everything I need is on my phone. But those were real not too long ago. Shortwave radios, they were analog, they weren't digital. And so you had to fiddle with that little knob there to try find the channel that you wanted. And every Saturday afternoon, my dad at 2 o'clock would tune into the BBC, the British Broadcasting Center, and he would listen to sport. All the Premier League games, everything that was on around the world. But you had to tune that radio very carefully there. Because there was a whole lot of static. So most of the time you'd hear, and then you would fine-tune it. And all of a sudden, you'd pick up something, and you'd be listening. But the moment the wind blew outside or someone walked past the front of the bedroom, it would mess with the frequency, and you'd have to tune in again, and you'd lean into the radio, and you'd listen to what was being said. That's what the Bible says about hearing God's voice and receiving the wisdom that He has. Because you know what? Life is noisy. Life is busy. There's a whole lot of static through life. And if you don't fine-tune your ear to the heart of God and lean into His wisdom, whenever you need to make a decision that has the potential to change the course of your life, all you're going to hear is static. But God says when you tune your ear to wisdom, when you don't rely on your own cleverness and wisdom, but you rely on God for wisdom, He will give you what you need. You will get direction, you will get clarity, and you will know the way forward for your life in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Goes on to say, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Wisdom is described as hidden treasure by God. You know, I think one of the challenges that many Christians have when they read their Bibles is you, especially when you've been reading it for years and you can get to the start of a passage and you already know what's going to happen. Oh, David and Goliath, yeah, I know the story. Noah and the ark, yeah, I know the story. All the parables of Jesus, I know the story. And you can almost switch off when you read the word, because you know what is written there. But when you understand that, as the Bible says, that God has wisdom hidden in His Word, it changes how you begin to read your Bible. Because you can read a passage that you've read 100 times before, but God can put new wisdom in it for you there. And so you have to view your Bible as a kind of treasure map. Every time you begin to read your Bible, pray, Lord, show me the wisdom in your word here. Show me the treasure that is in your word. Because God speaks through His word. But if we don't come before Him with an open heart, if we are not leaning in and tuning our ears to wisdom, we will miss all the treasure that God has available for us every time we read and open the word. Can you say amen? Here's another way we gain godly wisdom. This might surprise you, but it's through failure. Through failure. I've learned that failure can be one of life's great wisdom teachers if we respond well to failure. In other words, if we fail well. What do you mean if we fail well? Well, I think to fail well simply means that if you failed, acknowledge that perhaps you made a poor choice. Acknowledge that you didn't apply common sense. Acknowledge that you didn't prioritize what you should have. If you can respond to failure with humility rather than blame, because when many people fail, the first thing they like to do is blame someone else. I've been trying to teach my teenage kids that in life you can either make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't do both. You have to choose which one you do. If you can acknowledge when failure has occurred, take responsibility for it, the next question you can begin to ask then is, Lord, what wisdom can I gain through this failure? What is there that you are wanting to teach me through this? A man by the name of Samuel Smiles was a Scottish author, and he said, we learn wisdom from failure much more than from success. We often discover what will do by finding out what will not do. And probably he who never made a mistake never made a discovery. You know, I've realized in life it's as important to know what to do as it is to know what not to do. Sometimes we are so fixated on what do I need to do, but sometimes you just need to know what not to do. And that's what failure teaches you if you fail well. When you fail in a particular area, you know you have the wisdom to know that next time I mustn't do that thing. You know, I think probably the area where we see this outworked the most is in the area of relationships. You go into a relationship that is bad for you, you do it wrong, it fails. But then you find, ladies, another guy who smiles and is all smooth talking. It's the same guy that looks different now in the next relationship, but somehow you think this time it's going to be different. He promised me it would be different. And you make the same mistakes. Why? You failed, but you didn't learn from failure. When you know what not to do, it better positions you for the next time to know what you should be doing. Nelson Mandela once said, "I never lose. I either win or learn." Failure can be your best friend. God can bring great wisdom into your life if you fail well. Thomas Edison, many of you would know, was the great American inventor who was credited with inventing the light bulb. And he failed many, many times in his attempt to get it right, more than 1,000 attempts. And as he was getting closer and closer to getting the solution, people began to write him off. They began to label him and his work as a failure. And his response was this. He said, "I've not failed. I've just found another 1,000 ways that won't work." If you know what not to do because you failed, you then next time have a better idea of what to do. You know, my third son, Jude, is 9 years old. And he's a beautiful boy, isn't he? He's still single, by the way, and may he remain single for many more years. But he loves playing cricket. Cricket is his thing. He loves all sport, but he loves cricket. He's passionate on the field there. And 3 weeks ago, he was playing for the under 10A team at his school, and they were playing against another school. And it was a very close game. His team had batted. The opposition was batting. It was the last over of the game. And Jude was fielding close to the bat, and the batsman hit the ball to him. And Jude picked up the ball, and the batsman became confused as to whether they should run or not. So they were both stranded in no man's land. Jude was just a couple of meters away from the stumps. He could have just taken the ball, walked up to the wickets, and knocked the bails off. But like any 9-year-old boy, the power of God came upon him in that moment. He picked that ball up, and with all his might, he threw it at the stumps. Unfortunately, he missed the wickets. The batsman got home safely, but not only did he miss the wickets, there was none of the other fielders that could stop the ball because it came so hard, and it went all the way down to the boundary. The other team got overthrow runs. It was the last over of the match. Rather than their team winning, fortunately, they didn't lose, but they tied the game. And my little son walked off the field after the game, and you know, that like droopy dog look, and he's like, "Oh," he says, "Dad, I cost us the game. I messed up. I threw too hard." And I was like, "My boy, I was watching. I saw everything. Saw it all. In slow motion replay, I saw it." And I said to him afterwards, "You know what? This is what you needed to do." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. Coach told me." And I said, "You know what? It's not the end of the world. What you need to do is learn from this. If you can learn from this, you can do it differently next time." It's amazing how God works. 2 weeks later, last week, they're playing another game. The other team is 9 wickets down. They've got 1 wicket left. Jude is fielding in the same position. The batsman hits the ball toward him. He picks the ball up. There's confusion again. It's like a replay here with the batsman. Jude picks that ball up, and he's about to launch into this, and ding, 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 the light bulb goes on. And he takes the ball, and he just runs up to the wickets, runs the batsman out. Their team wins the game. Here's the thing. There is great wisdom that can come out of failure if you fail well. Some of you are here today and you failed in a certain area. You are still blaming other people. You are still making excuses. And God is saying, take responsibility for it. Suck it up. But let me teach you wisdom through this. If you can learn well, now that you know what not to do, you know what to do next time. God says there can be a great victory in your life in this next season if you can learn through failure. Failure is not the end of the road. If you learn from it, you can receive great godly wisdom by it. Can you say amen to that? Let me give you one more thought. If you're going to grow in godly wisdom, it comes by building your life on Jesus. By building your life on Jesus. You know, there's many different things you can build your life on. We can build our life on popular culture. In other words, what is trendy at the moment, what everyone else is doing, what's on the internet, what's in the papers and on TV. You can build your life on that, but that keeps changing. You can build your life on tradition, the things we've always done. Isn't that what the Pharisees did? Rather than building their life on Jesus, they built it on what was always done before. You can build your life on your own wisdom, your own intellect, your own smartness. You can even decide to build your life on your feelings. That's how many people live. I feel this way, therefore I respond that way. We build our lives on our emotions. But I want to encourage you to build your life on Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Colossians 2, and we'll finish up with this. The Bible says that God has hidden, everyone say hidden. God has hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. Now, the reason that verse is so important, because it tells us two things. It firstly tells us that the wisdom of God has been hidden. But secondly, God tells us where to find it. That verse, and life would be very different if that verse just said, God has hidden the treasures of wisdom. We'd go, well, that's great. God has hidden them, but we don't even know where to find them. But now the Bible says God has hidden all the treasures of wisdom, but he's hidden them in Jesus. And that there is the single biggest reason why people lack godly wisdom is because people don't want to go to Jesus and through Jesus to get the wisdom of God. People want to choose their own path. They want to choose their own means of righteousness. They want to choose their good works, any other means. But the Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ is all the wisdom of God. So that when you build your life on him, the wisdom of God begins to grow through you. It begins to permeate through every area of your life. But if you try to build your life on anything else, friend, unfortunately, you will fail to access and therefore apply the wisdom of God for your life. When you prioritize Jesus as Lord, when you obey the commandments of God, when Christ becomes the rock on which you build your life, you can expect in every season of life that you will move forward. Why? Because you will be growing in wisdom, you will be making different choices, and your life will be better as a result. Can you say amen to that?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.